You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
We dedicate that song as we open tonight's program to the efforts of Donald Trump to remain in the White House this Saturday evening, November the 14th. I'm James Edwards. Keith Alexander along with me tonight, and we have a power-packed show from start to finish in just a few minutes. All right, Keith, let me see that one for a second. We'll see what's going on here. Okay, that should make it better. Okay, I think I've hopefully lost the echo there. So, anyway, we've got a power-packed program tonight, beginning in just a few minutes with Nick Griffin, the former member of European Parliament, Mark Weber of the Institute for Historical Review, current affairs analyst par excellence, and then in the third and final hour, you're going to hear from Tim Murdoch, the popular content creator from the state of Michigan. He's going to help us track down these widespread allegations of voter fraud. It has been an absolutely incredible week of news. I posted a collection of thoughts at thepoliticalcesspool.org a couple of days ago, just trying to track it down in no particular order. Does Trump have a chance? Well, if he wills it, there is a chance. There's a theoretical chance, in so much as if he could delay the certification of the elections, tie it up in court, get it kicked to the House, where each state delegation, not each representative, would have a vote. The Republicans have 26 or 27 state delegations to the Democrats, 23 or 24. It's possible. It's a radical nuclear option. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Forget the shortcomings of Donald Trump. We know he has them. We have covered it, I think, very fair and balanced. I hate to use the Fox News tagline there, but I think we've covered Trump very objectively on this program for the last 4 years. We know his faults. We know his attributes. But let me tell you something. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's why I'm sticking with Trump. Forget the last 4 years. All that matters tonight is the here and the now. And in spite of his shortcomings, I'm sticking with him because the people who oppose Donald Trump, Antifa, BLM, that whole company there, they are literal demons. They are literal demons. They have bought into the lie, and the father of lies is Satan himself. I am not speaking with any sort of hyperbole here, ladies and gentlemen. You would be amazed. Hundreds of the most vile and profane threats that have poured into this radio program in just the last week from these people. There's no way I could recite them. Too many, too vulgar. These people are evil. They look evil. There is evil within them. This is what Trump's up against. And let me tell you something. If he loses, if he bows out, Keith, you've got this Senate race in Georgia. Look, I hate the Republican Party. There is no good in the Republican Party. But Trump is a little bit different. He's a game changer in some ways, even though he's certainly not totally our guy. But if they lose the Senate and the Democrats pack the courts and they add Puerto Rico and they add D.C. and they get four more senators, there's going to be no stopping the armies of the night. Keith, we had a great conversation at dinner a couple of nights ago. I don't even know where to begin. There's so much to cover, so much news. Trump has still not conceded. You think it's the real deal. I posed the question to you. I said, Keith, there's one of three things Trump's up to. He either really thinks he has a path to remain in office, or it's a fundraising ploy because you can continue to raise funds to pay off your campaign debt in situations like this, which he is certainly doing, or he's just trying to stick it to Biden and he's being a poor sport. And you, in a little bit of a surprise to me, said you think he's in it to win it. Tell us why.
Well, you were playing the song by Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. That's what we're doing now. They said that a lot of the Biden vote was not a pro-Biden vote, but an anti-Trump vote. My Trump vote is very much also an anti-Democrat, anti-Biden-Harris vote. We are on the verge of falling into a bottomless pit if the Democrats get control, and they have control of the Senate and the House of Representatives and the presidency. We'll never get out of this. They say that you can vote your way into socialism, but you got to shoot your way out. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this. It's going to be very bad, and it can get there very quickly. I think that Trump needs our support, and we better hope and pray that he succeeds, because everything else put aside, he is absolutely right. This was an election which was apparently won, at least in the eyes of the mainstream media, it's over with, because of electoral fraud. Electoral fraud is a hallmark, almost a custom, of the Democratic Party now. And it is also something that seems to be peculiarly linked to the black part of the Democratic electorate. In these urban centers with large black populations, electoral fraud is par for the course. Now, if you try to stop
Hey, what's going on? All right. Well, anyway, a little bit of musical interlude.
Yeah,
there.
Right.
You were getting after it so bad, Keith, they had to put music behind your commentary. But listen, I appreciate what you're saying there, but let me repose the question though. We just got it. It's so beautiful. We got to put music behind it. We'll take a quick time out. We'll be right back.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and we'll end up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
That is the state of the Trump administration right now. He gave remarks at the Rose Garden yesterday, did not concede, and in fact said we'll see which administration remains in control. So here is that collection of thoughts that we promised before we attempt to reach Nick Griffin. So Rudy Giuliani says that they have the evidence to change the Pennsylvania election. I told you, Keith, either Rudy Giuliani is telling you the truth, that he really believes that, or he's like Baghdad Bob, who was the Iraqi information minister who claimed that the Iraqis were winning the Gulf War as you saw the American tanks rolling back behind him in the background. The president this week appointed a new Secretary of Defense. Now, the Secretary of Defense is the second in command of the military behind only Trump himself. Now, why would you change the appointment if it's only going to be until January? Interesting question to ask. We have here...
Well, I would say it's because he doesn't want to be stabbed in the back by the military, and I think that's a very wise thing for him to do.
Again, if the only thing that's going to happen between now and January is a peaceful transition, why would you need to rearrange the deck chairs there on what would appear at the Titanic? Now, interestingly, if it does go to the Supreme Court, there were two young attorneys back in 2000 who were dispatched to Florida to ensure integrity of the vote in the Bush versus Gore fiasco. What were their names? Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett. So that's, of course, very interesting. They are doing a hand recount in Georgia. We're going to get to the allegations of fraud with Tim Murdoch. Bill Kristol says he's worried. He's worried more than he was 24 hours ago.
And if he's worried, he's worried on behalf of the Democrats, not on behalf of the Republicans.
Well, that's, of course, right. So, and then you have to wonder, does the providential timing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death loom large in this whole thing? And then here's something straight from Joe Biden's mouth. Let's take a quick listen. This is Joe Biden.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Okay. So amen. That is not edited. That is, you know, you would say, I guess, a gaffe, but, you know, when did he say this? Why is he not arrested right now? The Trump administration, the White House, has told federal agencies to proceed with their plans for the Trump administration's budget for the next fiscal year. Again, it's hard for me to believe that Trump would do all of this just for sheer showmanship or to make Biden worry.
No, I think it's well beyond that at this point, James. He's fighting for his life. He knows that if he loses hold of the presidency, if they actually go ahead and inaugurate and swear in Joe Biden, he's going to be a jailbird. That's what they have in mind for his future. This is something, the problem is this, they definitely have all the proof that they would need in order to make a credible case for election fraud, not just election fraud, but election fraud that was orchestrated by operatives of the Democratic Party and actually made the difference between a Trump victory versus a Biden victory. The problem is, as we've all heard said before, other people's perceptions are the ultimate reality. And the bigger microphones are in the hands of the left and the Democrats. If you turn on your television set, you're going to hear nothing but how Trump is delusional, how this is crazy, and this shows just what a bad person he is. And you get none of the plus that you hear. On the other hand, if you hear the internet and you also hear what's going on, you know, on radio shows like ours and even Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh or whatever, you will get a totally different picture. It's the difference between night and day. And these alternative competing realities are going to clash into with one another. I was surprised that they even covered the demonstration, the protests that occurred in Washington, D.C. today. You know, that was really a big thing. That's something that takes it in. And that is that's like the protest that they had in the Civil Rights Movement. When you have a spontaneous uprising like that, I think it was Alex Jones that came from Austin, Texas, and went all the way up to D.C. gathering people. This is something else. This is like the Pension Army during, you know, right after World War One.
Hold on, right,
the veterans.
Keith, I just want to give relay a message to our producers. Nick is standing by now. I believe it was the second number that I gave you. I just talked to him on my cell phone, and we called just a little bit earlier than what I told him. All right, so we'll get Nick. Go ahead, Keith.
Okay, well, this is real. This is not a fabrication. This is not a ploy on the part of Donald Trump. If Donald Trump were doing that, he's playing footsie with a pit full of timber rattlers, okay? Because the other side wants him gone, okay? Whatever that involves. And they want to rule, and they will rule when they rule without remorse. They are going to be totally in control. And believe me, the historic American nation, the America that we grew up in, the America that we knew, is going to be a thing of the past. This is my prediction. And as a result, this is deadly serious, people. We really do need to get behind President Trump on this because he won the election. Look, why would we get behind President Trump? Because he is right and they are wrong.
All right, Keith, we do have our featured guest, the very esteemed Nick Griffin, who studied history and then jurisprudence at Cambridge University. Of course, Nick, very famous for being the former leader of the British National Party and a former member of European Parliament. So I was talking with Nick earlier this week. He has written a series of articles on the American presidential election that have just been spot on. And I got in touch with him earlier this week and I said, Nick, we have to have your perspective. And it's an interesting perspective because Nick, of course, has run a high profile campaign that has seen many of the same enemies and obstacles that Trump has faced. He has held high elected office. So, Nick, when you look over here from across the pond, first of all, welcome back. Okay, so when you look over here, Nick, what do you see? as we try to unpack
What do you make of this mess that we've got right over here now?
Well, without a shadow of a doubt, I see a stolen election. That's beyond any doubt. Having said that, I've been involved in postal voting in campaigns where there's been a lot of postal voting, i.e. mail-in ballots. In fact, in the European election before I was elected in 2004, the British government actually changed the electoral law so that in the northwest of England where I'd be standing, which was the best place the British National Party was most likely to win, they actually changed the law to insist there be postal votes, i.e. what you call mail-in votes, available for everybody. But previous to that, it had only been people who'd been very sick. And they changed the law so that mail-in ballot was the standard. And they actually said in the House of Lords, when this was being debated and passed through, they said to the Lords, if you vote against this, you will get Nick Griffin elected. Because they understood that mail-in ballots were the way to stop us. The second time around, that didn't happen, and I was duly elected. So mail-in ballots are very, very useful to the left. Now, there's two reasons for that. One is that they are uniquely vulnerable to fraud.
And?
Cliffhanger there. Yes, that kid. Nick is a pro. He knows when the music comes up, that means the break's coming. We'll be grabbing him right at the end of that segment. But we have the remainder of the hour with Nick Griffin. And listen, folks, you are going to want to hear his take on what we're facing and how his experience as a candidate who has won high elected office can relate. Stay tuned to the one and only Nick Griffin when we come back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Republicans suffered setbacks to court challenges over the presidential election in three battleground states. A federal appeals court rejected an effort to block about 9,300 mail-in ballots that arrived after Election Day in Pennsylvania. The judges noted the vast disruption and unprecedented challenges facing the nation during the COVID-19 pandemic as they upheld the three-day extension. More than 15 legal challenges have been filed in the Keystone State by either Republican surrogates or the Trump campaign as they seek to reclaim Pennsylvania's 20 electoral votes. In Michigan, a judge refused to stop the certification of Detroit area election results, rejecting claims the city had committed fraud and tainted the count with its handling of absentee ballots. In Arizona, a judge dismissed a Trump campaign lawsuit seeking the inspection of ballots in the Phoenix area. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I've been taking vitamins off and on my whole adult life, and I've never seen any change, not like this, not since I've been on Balance of Nature. I used to take prescription medication for muscle aches and stuff. I don't take that anymore. I wish I had started it back when I first heard about it on the radio. And if I can give Balance of Nature any advice, keep it out on the radio, because I still hear these commercials from time to time, and I'm thinking, you people need to listen up. I mean, I'm over 50. And, your body starts wearing down. But Balance of Nature has literally changed my life. It really has.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Some military leaders are admitting that they've threw some whoppers at President Trump when it comes to military numbers. The details from Tim Berg at USA Radio Network's Phoenix Bureau.
Jim Jeffrey, the United States' retiring special representative to Syria and the special envoy in the fight against ISIS, confirmed on Thursday that he and other senior administration officials routinely misled President Trump on troop levels in the Middle East. Jeffrey, speaking to Defense One, explains how he was, despite President Trump's promise to withdraw Americans from endless Middle East engagements, was able to convince the president to commit to keeping between 200 and 400 troops in the region to secure oil fields held by U.S. allies and other strategic positions. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
The Dow closed Friday up 399 points, the NASDAQ up 119 points, the S&P 500 up 48. You are listening to USA Radio News.
come back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back now, and for the remainder of the hour, he is up way past midnight over there in the London area. He is Nick Griffin, the former member of European Parliament, and he has been writing some incredible insights on the American presidential election, which, of course, he can draw from his experiences as a candidate and as a former elected representative. Nick, continue on uninterrupted, and we'll toss it over to Keith in just a moment.
Yes, thank you, James. Yes, as I was saying before the break, there's two reasons that the left love mail-in ballots. One is that they are very much open to fraud, and they do carry out fraud on a large scale. But the second is that they're also ideal if you've got a large number of highly motivated activists, and if you train them. And all over the Western world, the left exchange information about how to best harvest mail-in ballots. This is done through various Soros NGOs. And they do it very well. So I would caution Americans, yes, there's fraud, but a significant amount of that huge, swamping mail-in ballot vote is just because while Republican activists were turning up to all those huge pro-Trump rallies, which the media, the fake news media, then ignored, people looked at the Democrats and said, well, they've got these tiny turnouts, no one's bothering. Well, that's because all their people, they weren't in rallies, they were out day after day after day knocking on doors in a very systematic way, getting people to register to vote and then getting them postal votes and then harvesting those votes. And the left do it really well. It gives them a real edge. Having said that, it's very, very clear from the sheer scale, for instance, of the votes, people voting in the presidential election but not using the other vote in the state. It's very, very clear that you've seen huge fraud here.
Nick, this is Keith.
Hello, Keith.
In America, mail-in voting also has a racial aspect that is kind of like the 800-pound gorilla living sitting on your living room couch that's hard to ignore. It seems to be a real affinity among blacks who are predominantly voters for the Democratic candidates to have alternatives to showing up in person on a day certain between 8 in the morning and 7 in the evening and casting a vote. And any time that you try to reduce those rights, for example, if you have a early voting period and you said, well, why don't we cut it back to 2 weeks rather than 3 weeks, you'll hear a great hue and cry come up about how this is racist, or if you want to limit the number of polling places for early voting, or if you put more restrictions on mail-in voting. And this is kind of the lurking problem in this. You've got to that's why, as you pointed out, there was not much alarm on the part of the Democrats when they weren't drawing flies to rallies for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They intended to win the election through electoral fraud based on mail-in ballot, I take it, from the very beginning, from the get-go.
Well,
and that's exactly what they've done.
And to further elaborate Keith's point, Nick, if I may, it's not enough to vote on Election Day. It's not even enough to give people a month of early voting, which they now do in America. But now the mail-in balloting, which I think has been exacerbated by their manipulation of the COVID threat. Your thoughts on that?
Yes, absolutely so. I mean, obviously, different governments and different particular leftist groups all around the world have exploited COVID in different ways. In Britain, I think we're about to see them having exploited COVID quite possibly for the government now to go back on Brexit and to spit in the face of the majority of British people, particularly English people, who voted for Brexit. I don't now think it's a done deal anymore at all. And in the USA, then, COVID was very useful. First of all, the lockdowns that led, pushed by the Democrats, of course, devastated the economy, which was Donald Trump's strongest card. And then by saying, well, with everyone wearing masks and not able to go out and so on, we've got to have it by mail-in, it was the perfect excuse that they needed to push that mail-in
expand.
Ballot, knowing that it's there. Demographic that takes the most advantage of it, and it steals them an election. That's what they've done.
Well, what I was going to ask then, Nick, is do you see, and again, I appreciate your perspective as someone who is not an American, looking at this from a different set of eyes than in a different
perspective.
Yeah, correct. Do you see a path forward for Trump at all, or should he just pack it in and save himself the effort?
He certainly shouldn't pack it in. I certainly see a path forward. It's not an easy path. I've been watching on and off today, or through the later part of the day over here, the news from the huge march in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's still going on. But, yes, there's a path for Trump to fight, but that path is not on the golf course. And if he doesn't act very, very soon to really mobilize these people and understand that even if he starts winning all these court cases, at that stage, the left, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, they're going to start rolling out the final stage of this, which is a colored revolution. It'll be a purple revolution, you mark my words. It's already very clearly signposted that. And what the deep state and the Democrats, people like Victoria Nuland and so on, what they did in Kiev, in Ukraine, whereby they brought down an elected government because it wasn't to their taste, they will do that and use that same playbook, and you will see Kiev-style Maidan riots outside the White House in every significant city in the United States. And if they can't take this by fraud, they will try to take this by theft. And if Donald Trump doesn't mobilize his supporters in a really meaningful way, even if he wins those court cases, which aren't given by any means, he's going to lose in the end. This is absolutely a critical moment, not just for Donald Trump, not just even for the American people now, but for the whole history of the American Republic.
And Nick, this is Keith again. I told James that he's got to be in it to win it, because his choices are either wins and becomes president, or he loses and goes to jail, because that's what the left has in mind for him. They do not have a soft landing place for him. And he's going to have to put all the chips in. I think the reason he made those changes in the hierarchy of the military this week was that he didn't want somebody stabbing him in the back from the military, and it may come down to that. You know, it's,
well, let's ask Nick. Let's
what
ask
do you think?
Yes. Well, this was the question I posed to Keith, Nick, right in the opening segment before we brought you on. There's, to me, three possibilities to explain Trump's actions. Either he believes there is that he has been violated and this election is fraudulent, that he has a path to win through the courts and the Supreme Court, and if it gets kicked to the House and the state delegations send the electors, that's the legal path, the constitutionally prescribed path that he might have. Or it's either that, or he's using this as a fundraising ploy, or he's just showing some poor sportsmanship and trying to settle scores and stick it to Biden and make the transition as difficult as possible for sour grapes. It's one of those three. Which one do you think it is, if you had to guess?
Well, I certainly hope it's not just a question of bad sportsmanship, because he clearly has been robbed. And as Keith said there, it's not a matter of if he loses this, they let him walk away gracefully. These people are extraordinarily bitter, extraordinarily evil creatures, and they will put him in jail if they don't actually kill him. So he is in the fight, really, for the remainder of his life, not just for this election, personally. So he needs to pull out all the stops. Now, the problem, if he's okay, definitely clearing people out in the military and so on who wouldn't stand by him, that's got to be done. But again, relying on the courts or relying on the House, that means relying on the Republican machine. And the Republican machine is, of course, full of people who really they'd be very happy to see Biden win if it's the way they get rid of Trump. He's never been part
of the deep state,
of the party machine, the deep state. There's plenty of Republican traitors queuing up to stab him in the back. And if he relies on the system, he will lose. He has to find ways to rely on the American people.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's, of course, what we're hoping for, because here's the thing, Nick. I mean, we all know the old cliche, demography is destiny. The Republicans will never again compete for the presidency if Trump is unable to persevere here, just because, I mean, you see Georgia now drifting blue because of demographic change.
Well, they're just going to open up the floodgates at the border, and everybody's going to get in, and they assume they're all going to be corruptible, and therefore they will become natural-born Democrats.
Yes, again, we saw this in Britain when the British National Party won seats. The response of the Labour Party in government and running the local councils was simply to swamp those areas with fresh immigrants on a huge scale. And again, what the left does in one place, they've learned very quickly, and they do in another. And you will see the biggest gerrymandering operation in history as they give amnesty to hundreds of thousands and let in millions. That'll be the way they fix elections in the future.
And if this is it, if Trump doesn't persevere and do something to stem the tide of this great replacement, the Republicans are gone. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is a bad thing for us with regards to Trump being gone, because he is the only one that even offers a modicum of difference between the establishment of the two parties. We'll be back with Nick Griffin right after this.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
A half hour with Nick Griffin is never enough. We know that. You know that. We will promise to have him back, if he's so willing, for a full hour before Christmas. He's working on a book that we can't wait to tell you about.
It's like that Jacqueline Suzanne book, Once is Not Enough.
That's exactly right.
We got to have more than once with Nick.
Great commentary, great opinion, great analysis. There's two very important questions I want to pose to Nick this last segment, and then we'll get him to plug all of the sites that he's working with and writing for. But, Nick, I want to ask you just very quickly, as you watch this American presidential election this year play out, and as it continues to play out in the last few days, have there been any European elections that are comparable, in your opinion?
That's a very interesting question. Certainly, there's fraud against the the Conservatives with small c, nationalists and populists every time. It's the way the left works. But no, nothing of a theft of this scale. Male imbalance on that scale are very, very unusual, so it makes it harder for them. How they cheated over here, for instance, we've just seen it in Greece, we've seen it in Slovakia, where nationalist parties which have made serious breakthroughs are then effectively banned. They're harassed through lawfare, they're broken up, and their leaders put in prison on spurious charges. So it's the same sort of trick, but a slightly different system.
Yes, I had heard about the Nationalist Party in Greece who are, their elected officials just being thrown in jail because they have unpopular opinions, which is basically the long and the short of it for anybody unfamiliar with the Golden Dawn over there. But you said something. I want to plug the website Europa Terra Nostra. You have written some incredible articles for that website. It looks to be a fantastic organization that we want to be sure to plug. But you said something back on this very program in March. When we had you on in March, we had a series in March, which we think we cleverly named our March Around the World. And what we were doing in March was having different leaders throughout the Western world outside of the United States to come on and give us the update from their ports of call. And there was something that you said in that interview that has stuck with me the entire year. And you said something along the lines that our path to electoral salvation is over, but our people are not over. And I think there's something very poignant and very important in that statement. You doubled down on it in a recent article, and I'd like to read just the last paragraph of that article before getting your response. You wrote, "The theft of the election will push even more nationalists and even more places to give up on the now totally discredited idea that there is an electoral path to salvation and that entire nations can be painlessly turned around. Proper effort can thus be poured into saving individuals and families and building communities and self-help institutions to help the growing minority who see that the liberal Titanic is sinking. Everyone is going to suffer as the shipwreck of our civilization gathers pace, but those who still can't see it are pretty much beyond help now. We are here to help mobilize the realist and give them realistic and truly useful things to do." There is nothing I think I could say tonight that is more important than that message.
Thank you very much. I hope Americans take heed of that message, because the very, very worst thing that could happen with this election now is that Republicans start to say, well, it doesn't really matter because the Democrats will be in for 4 years and they'll create such an economic catastrophe that we'll be back. And as we've already said, by the time the Democrats have opened the floodgates and turned on the taps of mass immigration and legalization, it will absolutely complete the demographic dispossession of the people who built America, which is going to happen anyway, but they will speed it up. And this is the last chance for 4 years. But after that, America, the American people will lose anyway. You're going to lose America because you haven't had enough kids, and because the left and the big capitalists have brought in large numbers of immigrants. That's a simple fact. And there's one recourse that Americans have that you can't see anywhere else, and that's that America is so big and the American people are so committed to their liberty and so armed that, and states have rights, that secession is going to become, I think, a real option in the USA. And you couldn't say that anywhere else. And it's a very drastic step. The end of the United States doesn't mean the end of our people if our people have the will to carve out a place for themselves and their children once again.
Well, Nick, what we were thinking about was if Trump won, this might provoke the left so drastically that they started talking about secession. And we would say, don't let the door hit you in the posterior when you leave. Right, yeah, let them go. I don't think that they see, the first Civil War, basically, the South was just like Greta Garbo. They wanted to be left alone. But it was apparently so much fun for the people in New England to torment us and to rule over us and to tell us what to do. They just couldn't resist, you know, the temptation to continue on with that. That's the problem that we've got over here, and we've got I don't think people, this is not a gambit on the part of Donald Trump. This is the real deal. And, you know, listen, if he goes to jail, I guarantee he's going to wind up like Jeffrey Epstein. What do you think?
Nick's also right. I mean, he was at the golf course today. He drove through the march that had hundreds of thousands of people, and he waved at him. And, you know, I guess they should be thankful he did that. That was at least, an acknowledgement. But he's going to have to show his cards here pretty soon, Nick, because Inauguration Day is hastily approaching.
It's
January
coming,
the 20th.
If his card is to rely on the court system, bearing in mind that the court system already, the Supreme Court, right from the start, basically said the mail in ballots are fine. So they, right from the beginning, set in motion this Democrat, the mechanism whereby this Democrat coup was possible. So if he relies on them, if he relies on the Republicans in the House, he's going to lose. He has to rely on the people. And to have driven through that huge crowd without stopping and getting out to shake the hands of those people who love him so much is, I think, a really worrying sign.
I agree.
I think that it's a phrase I often use, put not your trust in princes, because I fear that...
Psalm 46.
Well, you know, I'm
that,
so...
That was Psalm 46, and I remember remember the movie Beau Brummel with Stuart Granger and Elizabeth Taylor? And the fellow that played King George III made that comment in that play. So,
well, I'm glad Nick quoted the scripture, because I do believe there is a battle of good and evil that is taking place in this world, that has always been raging in this world. And Trump is very flawed. So was King David. And I'm not trying to make a comparison there, but I will tell you this. The people who oppose Trump are evil. The people who oppose him are evil manifested. You see it in their spirit. You see it in their very appearance. And we have to support him for that reason, in the my enemy is my friend type of scenario. We'll see how this plays out. It will not be a long time before we have that resolution.
And I think this, both Nick and James, I think that Donald Trump realizes that. He realizes this is not business as usual. This is not a gambit. This is life or death.
Well, no matter what happens, come what may, we will have each other. And I want to thank again my friend Nick Griffin for staying up till nearly 1 a.m. His time, local time, over there in the U.K. Nick, we're going to have you back on before Christmas, if you don't mind doing it again. But I would love for you to plug the websites you're working with and give us some contact information, some good organizations that our people can be in league with.
Yes, thank you, James. I'll be delighted to come back. So, Europa Terra Nostra, go and have a look at their website. I also write regularly for KnightsTemplarOrder.com, and the Knights Templar Order, the serious operation, we just produced a very fine book, Deus Vult, Reconquista of the West, subtitled Handbook for Resisting the Great Replacement. On the website, you can see the order information there, and I really do recommend it. There's a whole chapter entitled Alabama and the End of Politics, which is all about the demographic problem of the USA and what happens next. And many of the other chapters are absolutely relevant to Americans facing this great crisis. So once again, that's KnightsTemplarOrder.com. Apart from that, in particular, please come and follow me. I'm still on Twitter, just. I'm on Gab, and I'm on Telegram and on Parler. So if you haven't already followed me on there, please do and get my thoughts regularly. Apart from that, James, again, I'll be very pleased to come back before Christmas. Let's hope we're talking good news. If not, we'll be talking about defiance and the long road ahead to get back what's been taken away from us by the left.
You're talking about the Knights Templar. Let's hope we all don't wind up like Jacques de Molay.
Well, I'll tell you what. One way or another, we're going to have to fight like our heroes of the past. Nick is doing that. He mentioned Twitter. If you go to our promotional entry there at the top of my Twitter page, we have Nick tagged there, so you can directly link over and do follow him, as I do. And this incredible new website he just mentioned, Europa Terra Nostra, that is etnostra.com. That is etnostra.com. He has a lot of articles there. He's been nailing it spot on with election coverage and commentary. That's why we brought him back on tonight. But we will have him back on before Christmas to talk about the book that he just mentioned in passing, the fantastic book. I've got my copy on it on the way. We're going to be promoting that hard during the month of December, so stay tuned for that. Nick, final word to you, my friend.
Well, as I've said before, this isn't just an election. This isn't just about Donald Trump. This is part of a huge struggle between good and evil. And I urge every single one of your readers, of your listeners, don't just watch it. Don't just complain. Don't just talk about it. Get out there and take an active part.
We need a robust militant Christ-ordained church, how important is seeking the help of Christ in our deliverance and in our salvation, not just spiritually, but physically here on this temporal plane?
Yes, James, I think it's absolutely vital. For one, there is actually the power, of course, of prayer. And there's also the fact that there are very hard times coming. And in hard times, people get persecuted. A real living faith is the thing which girds people to face persecution, overcome it, and win.
Another hour of the political.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Nick. God bless you. Godspeed. We'll talk to you again soon. We'll be back with the second hour of tonight's live broadcast next. Radio Network.